What is going on, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Dusty Dimes podcast. I am your host, TJ, with my co-host, Alan. What's up, buddy?
Is this another episode of the Dusty Dimes podcast?
That it is.
Oh, my God. I love the Dusty Dimes podcast.
How are you, man?
Oh, what a whirlwind of an afternoon. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's real good. Real good. Real good. I could tell you the truth, but if I do, we get kicked off the podcast. Hey, don't. No, but it's a good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Go for it.
I mean, I had sex with my girl all morning. Right? You know, she came through the crib. I had sex with my girl all morning. And then we went out to lunch. And then all that shit just went right to the fucking, to the woods. It's all
really
good. Yeah, it's all good. She's a tough broad, bro. When you deal with a tough broad, you gotta take the good with the bad. You know what I mean?
I hear you. Another
day in paradise. We got bigger fish to fry today, baby. We got more.
I hear you. That's why our podcast is mature audience
only.
But yeah, today we have hockey legend, good buddy, Colton Saucerman. I think he's connected right now. Colton, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, guys? How are we doing tonight?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing real good. Just finished up some dinner over here and just having a glass of wine.
Hey, thank you for your patience, Colton. We appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, guys. I couldn't remember how we did this last time, so sorry about the.
Yeah, it's been a while, man. You were like one of the first episodes we had. It was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But first and foremost, thank you again for coming on. This is actually the first episode live from the UK.
Nice, awesome.
Yeah, pretty crazy. First I want to start with your summertime hockey with Three Zeiss. Can you talk about that experience this past summer and moving forward with EJ in that league?
Yeah, even the summer before the first year of the league, like it was, you know, I didn't really I didn't really get any notification other than just an email like, hey, would you be possibly interested? I thought it was kind of a scam, you know, kind of like we all did. We were like, what is this 3-on-3 thing that they're talking about? And wasn't drafted, obviously, in that first summer, and kind of was just a fill-in. Was fortunate to play the whole season, and then this year, you know, was lucky enough to be drafted by John LeClair for his team. And it's a blast, man. It's kind of surprising it took us this long to kind of get a 3-on-3 league going for the summer.
Yeah.
But it's so much fun just playing with guys that you normally play against, and, you know, a lot of guys you play with or never get a chance to play with. And it's just so, you know, 3-on-3 is just what we all live for. It's hard, obviously, like 3-on-3 full ice with only one extra line is, it's kind of a bagger, you know, the first couple weekends, but once you get back into that skating shape and, you know, all of us are just working on our craft for the next season. And it's super exciting and exhilarating. And honestly, EJ's done a great job just making it like first class all the way, you know, with how they take care of the travel and mm-hmm. setting us up with unbelievable accommodations that are, you know, convenient. And, you know, we switched to the Wednesday night games this year because of the, you know, the TV. We wanted more prime time viewing or whatever on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And I didn't mind it. And I liked the change that you wouldn't necessarily play every single week. Adding two more teams, I think, was a really good thing. Just get more guys in, you know, other big name players that maybe wanted to come in and play. Like, I think that was a huge, upscale from the year before. I personally liked the Saturday a little better. Just, you know, the afternoon time was nice. Like, you could be done at a decent hour, you know, just stuff like that during the summer that you just, it'd be nice to just do it on the weekend. Cause it was hard, like, training wise, I felt like it was tough to, like, you get back on a, you know, Thursday evening, workout Friday, and then you only had pretty much one skate before you had to leave again on, you know, Tuesday.
Yeah.
So I think, like, for me personally, it was just like I preferred the Saturday, but I know a lot of guys, it felt like it broke up the week a little bit and stuff like that. But I think overall, man, it's just such a popular thing, and it's going to keep getting even bigger. And I'm just glad I was a part of it. And hopefully next year I get invited back.
No, absolutely. Go ahead, Alan.
No, the concept is amazing. You know, to me, just like you were saying about, you know, John LeClaire and playing for his, you know, squad per se, the amount of coaches that they had who have these accolades, this talent, it's like upper echelon talent. It's so, and it's mind blowing. It's like what you said before too, with how long did it take for this concept to come into fruition? And now that it is, I mean, it's exciting. TJ went to a couple games. I was going to go myself to a couple games. I can't say that I did. There's always next year. But again, just, you know, the interview that we did with you, the interview that we did post you talking about, you know, Three Ice, to see how it all comes to fruition, to see how it all envelopes sort of, you know, I guess per se into this beautiful flower, right? It's truly inspiring. I mean, your story is inspiring. The league's story is inspiring. The caliber of talent that runs the league is out of this world. The older, you're going to have to help me out, TJ. The older guy who's like the guy who's in charge of it is like a 6-time Stanley Cup champion or something.
Yeah, Bob Johnson.
Bob Johnson.
Yeah.
How many cups do you need? We're talking like Wayne Gretzky cups. We're talking like Mark Messier cups. Like we're talking heavy, heavy hitters. Now, okay, John LeClaire might not have won a Stanley Cup, but he did with
Montreal.
Oh, he did? Oh, so, yes. Okay, see, again. Yeah. When did he play for Montreal? Was this after the Flyers? Or
early.
Early?
Early 90s.
Early. Shows how, early in his career. Don't hold me to that. I'm a big Rangers fan, but. You see how quickly I was wanting to throw a flyer under the bus. You best believe that. But I think everyone who's a head coach won a Stanley Cup. I feel like I read that too. So that would make my statement absolutely false. But regardless of it, you look at it in the aspect of a league, you know, it could very well grow to something that's so prominent that it's almost like a counter swap to the NHL. Like, if I don't want to watch this NHL game tonight, I'll watch Three Ice on CBS. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of positive that comes out of it.
Now,
no, definitely, man. I agree. It's just, like you said, too, just hitting on the coaches, too. It's, you know, it's obviously like for us, we're somewhat big names in hockey. And obviously, there's guys that are playing that are way more well known than, you know, some of us. But it's like, it's even us, we have like surreal like fanboy moments when we're I'm like, I ran into Ray Bourque for the first time in like Hershey, and I'm just like, dude, I was 10 years old watching you lift the cup, and like, it was just like I couldn't get my words out, you know. It was just like, that's, you know, and I'm 31 years old.
You know, we're all like in the same age group, right? Yeah, we're all like right in the same. Yeah. You know, to me, to answer, even follow up with that, which just kind of gave me the chills with what you said, that one of my fondest memories of Ray Bourque, and I never saw him live or anything, but the year I feel like it was the year that they won the cup. He won the skills competition at the All-Star game. And he had the moment that I remember, he's shooting at the corner, the saucer. He's taking the saucer shots where he's got to take the plates out of the corner and the center. And he did it in such an infinite amount of time. He won that contest. And it's like, to see a guy who was this grizzled old veteran and he's, you know, played all this amount of time in the league, and then your finale is the title. You know, you look at a John Elway, it's obviously not hockey, but this guy plays his whole career, and then basically your final moment is a championship moment. Like, come on, man.
Now, Colton, you mentioned on, like, you know, obviously, you know, you guys being big names and going city to city. And, you know, when Lanny and I were in Hershey, you know, watching you guys and talking to EJ and the coaches and like that, I noticed during warmups, the beginning, I don't know if you know, you probably do, but do you hear the kids and the parents like yelling your name and stuff like that? Because I noticed it was almost like you're well known in Hershey.
I it's funny because I only played one game there, but it seems like I just like struck a chord. And yeah, so it was weird. I didn't expect to, like, to, I don't know. like I said, it was a drop in the bucket. It was quick. Like I wasn't there for very long. But yeah, I can hear it, you know, every arena we go to, I feel like I can hear certain things and people going nuts at certain times. And honestly, I don't know if it's for me or if it's for my beard, but I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, do you see yourself if, you know, the offer, if it comes about, you see you playing again this summer?
Oh, I would love to. Yeah. If it's, you know, if the how the draft works and everything like that, you know, if I was fortunate enough to get drafted again, then yeah, I would definitely play. And, you know, they're pretty accommodating for the guys that play over in Europe. They're flexible with, you know, if you have to leave, or, you know, they want to try to find guys that can play for the entirety of the season, obviously, because it's their, you know, it's a business at the end of the day for them. Mm-hmm. And they want the big name players to try to stay around as long as possible. But they are accommodating in the fact that, you know, if you can work out something with your team over in Europe, like, you know, you can stay and play, or if you have to miss maybe one weekend, you know, so EJ does a good job, I think, of understanding, like, hey, we all have lives too, outside of this, and like, hey, we have commitments also to finish, you know, with you and 3i season, but also like, hey, we have the next season to look forward to because we're all still, you know, playing. But yeah, I would love to. It's important, I think, for turnover too. Like, not, you know, I'm selfish and I definitely want to play, but I think it's a good thing too. If I didn't play, or if I didn't get drafted this year, like, I would be a little disappointed, but also it's good for 3i's. Like, it's going to continue to grow it. And hopefully it gets, like you said, it gets big enough that, you know, it's a staple for hockey fans during the summer. And it's, you know,
so, good way to keep in shape.
Yeah, way exactly. To keep in shape. It really is. It really is.
Colton, can you give us an example of you know, playing overseas versus playing in America? Is there a big difference, or is there something that you could point out that would make one believe, like, oh, I see the difference in playing overseas next to playing in America? Is there a difference?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, you know, I played in Austria, Slovakia, and now the UK. So I feel like I have a decent sample size, I guess, for European hockey. I'd say that, like, it's not as physical because on some of the rinks that you play on, it's Olympic size ice. Now, that might change here in the next few years because everybody's possibly going to the NHL size ice. The double IHF is, I think, going to try to move towards having everybody play on the same size ice surface. So the game is just like a little less physical at times. Certain teams you play, certain rinks you go to, like, it's a little less physical. So some guys come over to, you know, older, later end of their careers, you know, they don't want to take a beating for 75 games in the American League anymore. That's one of the most physical leagues in the world, you know, so you come over here and it's a little bit more structured, finesse, systematic with it. I almost compare it to like kind of like roller hockey. It's possession.
Oh, wow. Love it.
It's possession based a little bit more. It's, you know, there's still forecheck, you know, systems, but it's you want to possess the puck because on the big ice you don't want to like chip and give it away, you know. It's all about the possession kind of it. And you know, even in the UK, some of the rinks here are Olympic size ice, but then some of them are standard NHL size, and then we even have some that are even feel like they're smaller. They're just like tiny surfaces, you know. So it's like the game changes every single night, which is kind of fun too, because it's like you have to play certain ways when you go into certain buildings.
You have to adapt.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't really get that. And it's more of like that mental side of it as well. Like physically, I still feel like I'm able to get up and down the ice, and I still feel like I'm playing well and at a high level. but it's nice to have like the mental challenges of, okay, tonight I'm playing on the big ice. I got to play my line rushes different. I have to, you know, play the power play different than I normally would. Like, and then I get the next night we're in a rink that's smaller than an NHL size rink. And it's like, holy smokes, I'm getting hit every single shift. And it's like, I have to just chip pucks. And like, you know, you just, it's fun to like change how you play the game. It's fun to see different ways to play this game too. So I'd say that's the biggest difference. I mean, the skill and the speed is, the European guys can skate and they have high end skill. Like there's nothing that they're lacking that the North Americans have. I think like the physicality is just what North American hockey is like known for, you know, it's just tough, hard hockey to play. But the European guys are physical too. So it's, I wouldn't say that there's that much of a difference between it.
Now, I know this is, you probably touched on before, but are you able to walk down the street over in the UK without being noticed like you would be over here in the US?
It is tough. Sheffield's got some pretty intense fans, and I've been noticed a few times at the grocery store.
Yeah.
I think a video surfaced when I was dancing at a bar once.
Allegedly.
No. My beard gave me away. There is no doubt that it wasn't me. So.
That's great. Yes,
it's, you know, they're also like, they're respectful of it too. But it's happened a few times. But mostly, it's a good sized city too, so it's not like super small. But yeah, it's happened probably 3-4 times so far this season.
Is Sheffield where Wembley is?
I actually don't know that.
That's your homework.
Okay,
for us.
I'll find that out. Yeah, I don't think so.
I've been to England once. I went in high school. I traveled a little around England, so it's for me. It's when I hear people. Obviously, we're talking about sports today, but when I hear people even talk about England, it touches me. Like it gives me. Not like a sunshine of hope or something like that, but I can remember visiting as a teenager, and I mean it's a wonderful place. It's completely different. You know, I've never been to Canada or anything, but if I were to have gone to Canada, that's how I feel like I would describe England. Completely different. People are different. Yeah. The vibe is different.
It is. Yeah, it really is. It's clean. It's like very green. You know, like
people are neat, man. People are very neat, and I don't mean neat like neato, like cool neat. I mean people are. I don't want to use the word clean. You know what I'm saying? But people are very. Yeah. They take care of themselves. They really, as a people, they take care of themselves.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think they enjoy the little things in life, which is what I feel like. Sometimes maybe in North America, we overlook those things.
We take it for granted.
Just going for a walk or, you know, enjoying family time or, you know, the same regulars go to the same pubs here on a weekly basis to watch, you know, the football games, you know. So it's just little things like that. But I've really enjoyed it so far, man. And I'll definitely be getting out. All the Christmas markets are starting to get set up and stuff. So my wife and I will be definitely visiting and seeing a lot more things.
That's awesome. Now, Colt, I wanted to ask you, as I seen, you know, you posted on Instagram that card that somebody gave you. And personally, I want to ask you how you're doing, man.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm not going to go into too much detail. I'm trying to stay focused. I think on just this weekend coming up is going to be very emotional. And, you know, but I think collectively, as a group, I think we're taking the steps that we need to take to, you know, try to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think me personally, I feel like my wife is definitely, you know, been a rock for me. And, you know, I think trauma and grief is a very hard thing to deal with. And there's no handbook on exactly how to deal with it. So I think it's just, you know, taking small victories every single day.
Touch and go. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it helps to talk to people and to, you know, it's definitely, I really wanted to come on and do this tonight. And I apologize. Mm-hmm. I'm not going into more detail about it, but even this is like something that I was really looking forward to.
Yeah, you're keeping it pro, dude. You're keeping it pro. Yeah. It's all good, bro.
No, so it's good. But yeah, everybody in our group and in our locker room and stuff is taking the steps we need to take. And this weekend's going to be very emotional, but I think we're all excited to get back to it. But yeah, it'll, message me after this weekend and I'll let you know. Okay.
No, absolutely. For sure. Yeah.
We could do a part two. I'm down.
Yeah, all in. Absolutely. Yeah. For
no,
sure.
Absolutely. No, cause I thought that was great, man. That card that somebody gave you, you know,
yeah. Sorry to touch on the card. Yeah. It was fantastic, man. The fans have been, unbelievable. And so, yeah, we walked into practice today and had a bunch of fan mail and stuff. And it was just really, really nice reading some of the cards that they had sent us. And, it's definitely been a community effort, man. And
you can only imagine how something powerful is until the impact comes across towards everyone. You know, it's definitely one of those things. Again, we can be on the same page and just lightly touch, but the impact of this, the situation is like, it's bigger than just the situation. And I'm not dumbing that down. Right. Sure. But at the same time, you know, it's not just, you know, me and T last week, we spoke about this too on a different, you know, last week's cast. And it's bigger than just the voluntary nature of the two players. It's bigger than that. You know, the situation is such a deep rooted thing that it touches so many lives. I mean, on all angles. It's not just the intimate family and the intimate players of those involved. It's you. It's your teammates. It's everything. It's the league. There's so much involved in it that it's like you kind of have to take it, no pun intended, man, in good strides. It's like you have to take a good stride on the ice because it's just, you know, there's no words for it. We could sit here and beat the bush down to the ground, but realistically, you know, when things happen, you have to adapt. You find ways to find, this is a poor way to state it, but like the happiness in the situation, try to find the light in the darkness.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I agree with that. 100%. For sure. And the beautiful thing about the hockey community is we all seem to go through all of these, you know, events that have happened in the course of our history of our game. You know, mm-hmm. we always seem to come together in those moments, you know, and this is another one where it's been, you know, a good thing, I think, for the hockey community to band together and to grief together and to hopefully look forward to the future, you know?
Oh, absolutely. It's a learning lesson too. You know, I mean, just on all angles as well, you know, people as a whole can, you know, will take this and make the most of moving forward because that's all you have. You can't go backwards. We can't go backwards. So we got to move forward, but we got to find ways to, again, find the light in the darkness and move forward in a positive fashion that not only benefits the league, benefits the teams. It's diverse. It's like a multi-universe of positive and negative. But you know, life is as such.
Definitely.
You know? No. Now, moving forward here, Colton, you're 31. Playing overseas, do you see yourself playing in North America again moving forward?
I'm not sure.
Besides three ice,
yeah. I don't know. I kick that back and forth every off season comes down where I think about the longevity of my career even more, you know. But I think with the right situation, there's been some talks of possibly a ECHL team come into Lake Tahoe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. So
that's, that's the one Tim Tebow, right? Correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's, you know, there's some.
The football player?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I think
the baseball player. Let's go, Matt.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, right.
Jets fan. I won't say let's go, Jets. Really? He invested in
something. There's rumblings, and I think they're coming.
It could be potentially. I shouldn't say he did. It could be a potential investment for Tim Tebow in the hockey. Good for Tim Tebow.
I know. Right?
Take a knee, Tim Tebow. God bless him, bro.
But it's an interesting spot, and I was like, oh, okay. I could, you know, I don't think at this stage in my career, obviously, that I would be getting none probably interest at all from the American League, and that's fine. It's obviously such a developmental league now anyway, and it's just stuffed with draft picks and, you know, prospects and stuff, and obviously I'm not a prospect anymore at 31, so...
Did they see that nasty goal you scored in Hershey over the summer?
I mean, hopefully somebody in the front office is there.
Yeah.
But I've thought about it. I think I am just at a point now where I just want to like go see as many places as possible. And so that, again, like I said, the Lake Tahoe thing interests me just because I've never been there. You know, so it could be a cool spot to go check out. But obviously, Europe has a lot to offer. I think there's so many leagues and so many cool cities to see and experience here. So I don't know. I'll take it season by season, and if that works out, then definitely a possibility that I could be back, and maybe not. I don't know.
Nice.
Positive. That's all that matters, brother. You got good outlook on. However, because you make the most of what you have, and that's the best part of it.
Yeah, just gotta make sure my wife's happy wherever we decide to go.
Yeah, right.
She wants to go there.
Yeah, happy wife, happy life, baby.
She does her research, and if she wants to go, then we'll go.
Real glad that I'm a single man. You guys are happily married.
Now, in closing here, Colton, I know it's 9 o'clock there. So, in closing. Alan and I, the audience, want to thank you for your time and thoughts about everything we spoke about. Obviously, you know, we can have a second part of this if you'd like moving forward after this weekend.
In due time.
Myself, Alan, you know, the hockey community want to wish you guys the best of luck this season. And hopefully, you know, Lanny, myself, and Alan get to see you playing this summer again in Threes Ice.
Yeah, absolutely, boys. I really appreciate it, and we'll definitely do a second part for sure.
And Lanny told me his exact words. He wanted me to tell you he wants one of your practice jerseys from the Steelers team. That was his exact words.
All right. Yeah, we can do that. We can do that for sure.
Awesome. But yeah, man. Good luck, and then you let me know when you're ready to do second part, and we'll leave it in your hands.
Absolutely, boys. I appreciate you guys having me on tonight.
Colton, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Keep in good spirits, brother. Keep in good spirits.
I appreciate it. Will do, brother.
See you, bud.
All right, bye.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that was Colton Saucerman, Sheffield Steelers defenseman. As you heard, you know, we got out of him what he wanted to talk about this podcast. It's going to be a part two. Podcast as well moving forward about, you know, the events that happen over there.
I'm going to be real with you. I wonder if they like, I hate to like talk on a business level, but I wonder if they had to like sign NDAs or anything like that. And I mean, it's not, this isn't a disrespectful statement. I mean,
I get it.
I wonder if they like were told like, hey, buddy, keep your mouth shut.
I think it was the respect factor, and you know, absolutely. Like he said, like, you know, he's got to get ready for the weekend, and
they got to focus, you know, the focus.
It's our first, I know they closed down. Remember they closed down with everything. And he said, you know, it was their first day back, and
it's like we talked about last week, you know, and we touched on it. It's like, neither of us personally, between me and UT, and you know, ever even anyone out there listening to this, like I personally have never been involved in anything of this caliber of seriousness, like to where life smacks you in the face and says, wake up. Real. This isn't a job in the pro wrestling world that we like so much. This isn't a work, brother.
No, absolutely.
This is shoot, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can only imagine, like, even for him, for his teammates, you know, and they're looking at the book from one side of the spectrum. I mean, both teams are looking at it, you know, straightforward, but to think what even like all of their teammates, you know, just what they've had to endure with all this. And then, you know, even backlash, and then look, we're all in an internet world. Who knows how many, you know, people on X, Twitter, Twix, whatever, are sending, not so much him DMs, but sending the team DMs, you know, sending Matt DMs. Like, just who knows how people are mishandling this, you know, how people are treating this.
Oh, absolutely.
How the information is getting out to where people, it's not so much like knowing the truth versus not the, you know, the facts versus not the facts, but.
Yeah. But I mean, too, is, you know, with part, you know, obviously this is part one. He wants to do a part two. So therefore in part two, he's going to be able to
elaborate more, of course,
elaborate and give his firsthand knowledge of everything that happened and what transpired and
his feelings, you know, his own personal outlook on it.
His own personal feelings.
If he chooses to, but we're on the same page.
And you can hear, like, you know, it's, you know, Colton's a great guy.
He kept a professional.
He's a professional. He's a great guy. He understands, you know, the task at hand, but, you know, it's tough, man. It's tough for everybody. It really is, because, you know, you as well as I know in the hockey community, like he said, man, it's you're all for one, man. It's, you guys are out there. Everybody's out there playing the game hard. You know what I mean? And it's, nobody wants to see anybody get hurt, regardless if they get, you know, they get hit in the corner, they take a shot, you know what I mean? It's, nobody wants to see us. And you could hear it in his voice, man. He generally, like, it's, I don't want to say it's bothering, but it is bothering.
Oh, bro.
You know, you know what I mean? And like I said, he's a very professional guy. He's a great guy on and off the ice, man. I hope he gets to play threes ice this summer. So, you know, you can meet the guy, you know what I mean? Man. Like Lanny,
I should have went. I should have went to Newark last year, man. I was going to go, but I had work, and it is what it is. I should have, even if I couldn't have gone with you, I could have still gone, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's even like what we touched on, it's got to be like a year or two ago when we first talked about the three ice, you know?
Yeah.
The idea of hockey, like, look, so they have essentially got the idea from Ice Cube's basketball. Let's take these old veteran players who can still go,
but the thing is, they're
not going to go on the mainstream. Yeah. But, you know, you look, we don't have to compare it though, but you look at three ice. Martin, listen, this hurts to say, TJ, but real recognizes real. Martin Brodeur is the greatest goaltender that ever lived playing the sport of hockey. The way I correlate this, his son plays for Three Ice. You want to talk about a great way to get in a door? Okay, so your dad, let's just say your dad's the greatest goaltender that ever played the game. That doesn't mean that he can play hockey. It means nothing. Now, he's very good, right? He obviously is very, very, very talented. So the apple did fall. The apple did not fall far from the tree. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
It sounded
good. Yes.
Right? Yeah. But you put in perspective this young talent, this new up and coming talent, it's almost like its own version of, like, again, to go back to the wrestling, like NXT. Some of these players will not only be in the NHL, thrive in the NHL. However, got to start somewhere. And some of them are getting opportunities. And then, like we talked about, you know, roughly touched on today, I mean, I probably should do more research so I know that John LeClair wouldn't stay on the Clemson trip. But, you know, the moral is when you have a staff that is so predominantly talented that have these accolades all across the board, all of them. I mean, is it Ed Belfour? Who's the goaltender? It's Ed Belfour, right?
No. Ed Belfour, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bro. Are arguably top 10 goaltender of all time. And I want to put him higher on the list, but I put him in the top 10 comfortably because we're putting him in names with heavy hitters. Hasek. We're putting him with Brodeur. You know, Patrick Waugh. We can name names all day. This is not a name-calling contest. But when you look just on that perspective, you look at John LeClair. What did John LeClair do for the Philadelphia Flyers? So I didn't know that he played for Montreal. And I'm not – this wasn't a diss. I wasn't like
– yeah.
To see what Eric Lindros, Brind'Amour, John LeClair, Gagne played with him too, right?
Yeah.
Dude, when you see the amount of talent that teams had, granted, whether they win the cup or they don't win the cup is irrelevant. When you see I hate to say this because I love the Rangers so much, but dude, the Flyers were stacked for many years. Many years. And you look at teams, okay, even though they didn't win the cup, it's fine. Certain players will win the cup. You look at Ray Bourque. We talked about Ray Bourque. We touched on it tonight. This guy played his, like a 20, it's not exact. Don't hold me on the numbers. He played like a 20-year career in the NHL.
And he did.
And he did not win a cup until his final year in the NHL.
Dude, look at, and you know, Lanny brought this to my attention, is I think Brent Burns is going on almost 20 years in the NHL. And he hasn't won a cup.
It happens.
You know what I mean? Like, it happens. It really does. You know what I mean? But, you know, going back to what you said, and I wanted to cut you off, but you were on fire there.
It's all good. We're on the same page, baby. Do it.
What I wanted to say with the whole threes ice thing is you look at these guys, like, these guys are all young guys. You know what I mean? These guys can play. Like, they look. There's talent, man. Young guys, ECHL guys, AHL guys. You know what I mean? I think last year they had Ryan Malone, an ex-NHL guy, playing. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, and EJ's doing a great thing with Threes Ice. You know, Bob's doing a great thing. Craig Patrick's doing a great thing with Threes Ice. EJ's like, he's a genius when it comes to this stuff. You know what I mean? And, you know, again, I thank him and his staff for, you know, having myself there, you know, talking and watching and interviewing guys and stuff like that, you know, and moving forward to next summer, like, you know, I'm welcome back. You know what I mean? They welcomed me to the championship game in Philly, the championship weekend. I couldn't make it, you know, with, you know, personal reasons.
Yeah, no, I know. I got it.
But they're doing great things, man. It's, you know, like Colton, like I said, man, I'll send you the video. I'll put it on Instagram. That goal he had in Hershey, man.
I didn't see it. I was going to say I didn't see it, but I'll have to do my research. But I'll do my research either way.
Dude, the goal he had was filth. You know what I mean? And he's a defenseman, but he could play, man. You know what I mean? So it's like these guys that are playing in this league, I feel like and I said this before, it's going to blow up. It's good. You know what I mean? And I told you this before, it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, and you know, Bob Johnson told me that there's a rumor that this summer they're going to have a threes kids ice going around.
That would be chill.
You know what I mean? Like, so, and I said that to Lanny. Lanny, his
like ears, juniors or mites or something. Yeah.
Like Lanny, man, his ears perked up. Like, really? Like, and I'm like,
I'm about
man.
To try out.
Yeah.
He only has 364 days left. Yeah. So I can try out, baby.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I'm saying, dude, these guys, like these ECHL guys, AHL guys, man, they put on a show, and it's like, it's good for them because, like, they, you know, like Colton said, like, if there's people watching, man, like, yeah, it's 3-on-3, but like, if you play 3-on-3, you know what I mean? You can move the puck. It's a fast paced game. We all know that.
You don't understand it until you see it. And luckily for me, I'm speaking from knowledge, from firsthand insight.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's 2018. I go to the All-Star game in Tampa.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we've spoken about this, you know, Henrik Lundqvist, whatever, but the whole premise is that they decided at some point a 3-on-3 All-Star game.
Yeah.
And when you watch it, you know, you look at it at a face. It's like a shootout, you know, okay? It's all in the eye of the beholder. Now, I personally don't mind shootouts because it adds an ambiance. It's like a different way of watching the game, right? So you got the overtime. The teams didn't score in overtime. Let's do a shootout. It's almost like, you know, if you have the trapeze artists at the circus and now we're watching the elephants run around. Like, it's the same circus, but there's a different event per se. To see even in the All-Star game some of the greatest players, and I'm not comparing it, but it's the idea that I'm comparing. To see some of the greatest NHL players of that year, you know, we talked about it. Connor McDavid, it was probably his second All-Star game at the time, first All-Star game. A lot of these dudes, I mean, I just put him on the upper echelon, but guys of his caliber talent, you're watching 3-on-3 on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be real with you. I don't know if I'd want to watch an entire, you know, 3-hour hockey game.
Dude, I'm telling you. Well,
on 3-on-3?
Yeah, but, dude.
What I will tell you is this. When you see – when you're used to driving an automatic car, you get used to it. Next thing you know, you get a sports car that's a stick. It's a whole different beast. Mm-hmm. And you're so used to driving – it's not that you can't drive stick. You can drive stick very well. But you drive that automatic car and you're like, yeah, I like it. Next thing you know, you hop in the Porsche and you're like, doo, 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 doo. And you're like, oh shit, this clutch is real, real nice. The way I can correlate that is everyone's so used to 5-on-5. It's great. Hockey is hockey. Sport is sport. But when you just tweak it just slightly and just add a little flavor to it, because that's really all it is. They take a couple guys on the ice, they add a little flavor to it. The gameplay, sort of slower, but not in a negative way. It's a positive way. You can actually adjust in seeing how your front – because, listen, hockey is 5-on-5, right? So you have your 3 forwards, you have your 2 defensemen, okay? Mm-hmm. 5 players are working collectively together to not only keep the puck out of their zone, put the puck in the other net. You did now take away 2 players. Still got 1 defenseman, but now you got 2 offenders. Offensemen. It shows a different aspect of the game because it teaches you how to not only appreciate the sport, but you start to really see the technical skill and what it takes to pass the puck. And it's that simple. You know, it's that simple. Because when you got 5 players, okay, I catch the right pass over a couple lines, boom, my man's 1-on-1 with the goalie, doot, 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 goal scored, the arena's going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have less bodies on the ice, I got to work harder because now we're basically 1-on-1. They're all 1-on-1 with each other, but they're really not because it's really just offense against offense. If you're in the defensive zone, now you're against the defenders. But when it's just 3 players, they're sort of all just this, it. You almost take the defense out. The defender's still there. Sort of remove him from the game because now they're all on the front lines because that's all you have. And it's a different aspect of the gameplay. I mean, I know that you went and I didn't get to go. I will definitely go this summer on principle just because I missed out on such a great opportunity to see them play. But again, to correlate it to what I personally saw with my own eyes, even in the NHL, it didn't matter what, you know, what league it was, regardless of who's in charge, who's coaching, what players play, blah, blah, blah. You start to realize in perspective, like it's the creative idea, drive the sport
mm-hmm.
to get it to another level that it's already been at.
Again, like I said, man, yeah, like you touched on it. I think it's only going to take off, man. It really is, and it's a good thing for the sport.
We're only in a year. We're only in a year.
Two years now.
2 years. That's right. 2 years.
And it's taken off, man. It really is, and I'm excited. I'm excited for.
They need the CBS deals. When CBS gets their shit together and they can put it on the TV. It's going to take it to a whole nother realm.
Oh, absolutely. Across the country, even the world.
Yeah. But then again, like I said to you even before, when you have Not to put Marty's son on the pedestal, but when you get a guy like that of his caliber.
Well, Jeremy's good.
Jeremy's
man.
Nasty. Yeah. He's nasty. He's I'm podcast, not cutting him short. We had
Jeremy on the podcast as well.
No, I'm just saying you put something into perspective just for, and I hate to cut, like, you got Colton, right? You've got players of this caliber. I'm not cutting anyone short. Mm-hmm. But when you think of it, it would be like if Wayne Gretzky had a son. Like, first off, Pauline sexy AF. But if Wayne had a son, right?
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't go right to the NHL. Maybe his son plays in the big three, the three ice.
Yep.
Because dad's been like, listen, you're going to get there. Don't worry. You're going to get there. But let me put you through the work so you understand how hard the game really is. And then we push you to the limit. Now, that's a little fugazi, because Gretzky's kid would probably be a first ballot all-star. I mean, if that's were the case. I mean, Pauline is the first ballot all-star in my book, okay? That's all I got to say about that. I wish I was a golfer. I wish I was a golfer, because if I was a golfer, I'd go after Pauline. Sorry, Pauline. If you're listening, sorry, girl.
What I like about the whole three ice thing, and then we'll move on after this, is I like the fact that it's you know, ECHL guys, AHL guys, European guys trying to make a name to get themselves
to either get back or to get up.
Yeah. I mean, because even if you have NHL guys drop down, yeah, that's good. But you watch them all season. Nobody's going to be like, hey, let me watch this guy play live 3-on-3. You watch him play 82 games a season. You know what I mean? No one's going to want to see that. So I think, like, what they're doing, man, like, obviously the old NHL veterans and legends being coaches, absolutely, man. That brings in as well.
And Colton touched on it too, not to keep, you know, beating a dead horse, but he even said it himself, you know, when you're a guy, you're 31 years old, you know, you correlate it to football. How many running backs do you know are 32, 33 years old? That dude's a dinosaur. Like, I don't mean that ignorant, because Colton still can play. The guy's fire on the ice. But he even said it in himself. He could totally make it. He could get a phone call, and the phone call could change his life.
Exactly.
He's already received the phone call, and you know, in his life, and it has changed his life. And he even kind of said it himself. Quite possible that maybe, and I'm not, you know, shaming or downing, maybe that phone call never comes again. So with a guy like him who got the talent still, other players like him who are in the same caliber boat, they're more than able to play, let's call it the big show, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you know, that you have to get that phone call to play in the big show. So what does that mean? I don't want to not play. Let me find a way to play. And it's still professional. It's not like – He's on a B league, you know what I mean? Any of the players.
They're playing hockey and they're getting paid.
They're all getting paid. Yep. They're all playing high level hockey. Listen, and it's not like they're playing in like the Sovereign Bank Arena in Trenton, bro. That's what the Sun National Center. You know, we're not talking 10,000 seat, 5,000 seat. They're playing in full on stadiums.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're drawing crowds. The brand is building itself. It's all positive. I only see positivity.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of the situation that's happened in the last couple of weeks, you know, involving obviously Colton and the teams. But realistically, it's – I hope he plays again in the summer. I hope that, you know, they call him back and he can get, you know, back on his team and they can continue to build this – building block of success, because it only just adds more to the sport. It only adds an essence, a differential, a positive, let's call it spice, to the game. It would be like, let's say you like a band, TJ, right?
Mm-hmm.
The singer is the best singer in the world, right? The band doesn't break up, but the band's not going to record for 3 years. Let's say the drummer maybe is going to go move to Indonesia and just fucking pray or something, right? It don't mean the band's breaking up, but the singer still wants to sing. So what does he do? Maybe he creates a side project. Maybe he creates another band. And the other band is equally as successful as the first band. That doesn't mean that when the drummer's not finished doing what he's doing and he comes back, that they don't come back as a band and take over the world. You know what I mean? Like they did before, previously. Because, you know, it's as much as it's individual. And if everyone's on the, you know, look at what these both teams have had to deal with this whole scenario. You know, I admire Colton for his professionalism and him wanting to keep it 100, but yet keep it low key.
Absolutely. Dude, you see the picture I sent you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just what kind of guy he is, man. It's. Yeah, that's between me and you. I'm not gonna.
It's all professional because it shows an aspect of a person's character.
He's great.
Anything else, it doesn't even have to be sports. It could be life. It could be business. It could be your job. It could be your family. It could be your neighbor. Mm-hmm. If you show a certain caliber of couth and this high end. Professionalism of life and just appreciating what you have in front of you, it makes the whole picture brighter. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's 100%, man. And you know, how much time you got? You good?
We're riding till the surf. I got the Surfside peach tea, and I got some Tullamore Dew, bro. I'm chilling. Let me tell you, I'm chilling.
So to touch on this, you know what I mean? And this is just throughout the world, you know what I mean? Every hockey player, baseball player, soccer player, you know, badminton, football, whatever you want to call it as a team player, you know what I mean? Like, you look at this guy, man, and you want to know what professionalism is.
He has a wicked beard. He has his beard is fire.
Yeah.
Colton, your beard is fire, bro. Keep up the good work, bro.
Colton's picture is right next to professionalism in the dictionary. 100%.
I feel like he should open up a barber shop and he should open a shave shop, like a barber shop that has a shave shop. It would take the cake, bro.
So
invest that money.
The way he talks, the way he handles himself, you know, the way he, you know, conducts himself with fans, his teammates, like the dude's all about the team. You know what I mean? And I want to touch on that with, you know, athletes across the world. You know what I mean? Like, it's about the team, guys. You know what I mean? It's not just one individual. You know what I mean? It's about the team. It's about, you know, working together as a unit, working, you know, together on and off the ice, you know, taking stuff serious, you know, going for the big prize. You know what I mean? Here, not just individual play. You know what I mean? So, If you're going to sit there and be an individual player, like you're playing a team sport's not for you. You understand what I'm saying? So if you want to be like that, go play golf. You know why? Because the spotlight's on you. Go be a swimmer. The spotlight's on you. Go play, you know, pickleball. You know what I mean? It's two people there.
I was going to bring that up before, like when you were talking about random sports. It's like, yeah. What about pickleball?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How many people in New York stop what they're doing and go to fucking Central Park?
Oh, I believe
and then
it.
Go, bro, it's like Die Hard. There's a membership now. Where the ice, so in Central Park, where the ice rink is, I mean, it's in Home Alone. It's the scene where Donald Trump, like, pump comes out of nowhere. I mean, this isn't a political, it's just the scene in the movie. There's an ice rink in Central Park. Right outside the ice rink, they built courts, not fields, like tennis courts. They built acres, like an acre or 2 acres of
just pickleball. Unreal.
Dude, have you ever watched it on TV? I'm not a pickleball. I think it's pathetic. I'm not damning the sport by no means. Yo, bro, go play tennis, bro.
Yeah.
Be a man.
Yeah.
In the TikTok of the internet, be a man. Go play tennis.
But like I was, like I was saying.
I don't want to go on rants. You know what it is.
But like I was saying, you know what I mean? Like, it's everything's for the team. You know what I mean? Like, and you see it from, you know, you see it from squirts all the way. You see it all the way to college. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen it at college games too, man, where like players like think that they're the shit. You know what I mean? Like, dude,
shit the bed.
Yeah, dude, you're on a fucking team.
Sean Avery.
Yeah, dude.
You know me. I love my team. I love my teammates, my team players. I don't care what year it is. I'm all game. But that's a prime example.
Oh, 100%.
Because it's when you take something and you almost abuse it because of your own selfish nature, your own way of like, well, I'm not going to do it that way. I'll do it my own way.
Yeah,
that's not being a team player.
And
it
don't work like that, man.
It spoils it.
It doesn't. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, you know, like the coach, you know what I mean? Like, coaches instill a system. Coaches instill, you know, like what they want to do. Coaches instill, you know, set plays. You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, that's fine.
God bless Mike Keenan. God bless Mike Keenan. I'm just putting that out there.
So that's fine. But in retrospect, like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you're out there doing the work, you know what I mean? But like, implement your creativity and what the coach is telling you, put that all together, man. Like, you guys the team's going to be awesome. But if you sit there and blatantly don't listen to a coach and do whatever the fuck you want,
or like, go into business for yourself.
Yeah, dude, like you're going about it the wrong fucking way. You really are.
Like, look, even what we've talked on previous episodes with the parents, when the parents go into business for themselves, that's essentially what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They want to act like the coach. They want to act like the tough guys now. You're not only taking away from your kid's game, you're taking away from the game, and you're taking away from the authoritative nature from the coach. Because the coach is the leader. And that, even though that's sort of a horrible way to analyze it and correlate the two things, but if in a logical perspective, it makes sense because, you know, one bad egg ruins the class.
Holy fuck, dude. Not you. You are not wrong there. I've seen it from the, you know,
I don't care if it's a parent. I don't care if it's the captain of the team.
13 years now, I've seen it. I've seen it all.
I don't care if it's the head coach. I don't care if it's the Zamboni driver. I mean, it gets to a point where if one maintains the line,
mm-hmm.
stays straight. If you deviate, it not only hurts you, it's not going to benefit everyone else.
You're not wrong.
And of course, it's in reason and means. I mean, that statement is a very generic, broad statement. But it, again, you put it in logical terms, you analyze it, it makes perfect sense.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? If you have the one player on the team that wants to score all the goals, and I'm not saying like a Wayne Gretzky because it's a different caliber because he had more assists than he had goals. And like Lanny has more assists than goals. Do you know how proud I am of that boy?
No, he's got more goals this year.
This year, but in a general statement, the kid is willing. He's willing as a professional player, as a smart human being. I would rather give the puck up to my teammate than take it myself because I already know that I can take it myself because I'm that good. I'm that damn good. Yeah. It's true. It's damn true. No, but seriously. He would rather, in a scenario, teammate over than put himself over.
I mean,
It's as selfless and as professional as anyone can be. And it's not just your boy. I'm not just putting your boy over because it's you and it's your boy. Him as a person, him as a player. He will literally put his teammates over him. And then point at his mom. But that's a different story. Different story. That's love. But seriously, and you put that in perspective than anyone else. You know, you take a guy like Gretzky. He put his teammates over. You take a guy like Lemieux. He put his teammates over. Okay, he was the star. He's the star of the show. Somebody's got to be the star of the show.
So, and then now we're going to talk about this, right? You talk about those players.
Please. Please. I'm done.
Connor Bedard, does he put it to Connor Bedard? Does he put his teammates over?
See, that's the, I guess that's the catch 22 of it. Cause does he really?
No.
So
listen, there was a stat. I think it was last week. There was a stat that Bobby Brink, do you know who Bobby Brink is?
Sure.
You don't.
No, I don't.
You don't. Bobby Brink played for University of Michigan and was, you know, he's with the Philadelphia Flyers, right? Him and Connor Bedard at one point, I think it still is. Still is. They have the same amount of points.
That's crazy.
Right? Nobody knows who fucking Bobby Brink is, but he's a rookie and he's got the same amount of points as Connor Bedard. So this is what I'm saying. Like,
diamond in the rough.
He's a workhorse, man. He's 100% a workhorse, right? So we're going to look right now that Connor Bedard, right? Connor Bedard has 7 points.
That's a great name. That's a great name.
He's got 7 points. He's got 5 goals and 2 assists, right?
Average, I guess. I get late average. I mean,
decent. And how many?
He's making points happen for the team.
He's got 5 goals and 2 assists in how many games? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He's got 6 points or 7 points in 9 games.
That's not bad, dude. 7 points in 9 games, and it's almost a point a game. That's at least the goal. I'm sorry,
11. 11 games. 7 points in 11 games. And he's a dash eight, dude. Not a plus, a dash.
Negatory.
Right? You don't. Yeah. So, and then let's see. It's Thursday night. Let's see. We're going to look up Bobby Brink here.
Hey, Bobby.
Bobby Brink, Philadelphia Flyers.
He's got a great name, too. These guys have great names. Bobby Brink, Robert Brink.
Yeah, Robert. You know his middle name is Robert Orr Brink.
Stop. I wonder where they got that from.
they were going to name him Robert Clark.
Bobby Orr.
Yeah.
Really? Ooh.
Yeah.
So they chose Bobby Orr instead of Bobby Clark. See, that's a tough one. I don't know what I'd choose.
I know.
Ooh, I got to go. I probably got to go Bobby Orr.
All right, Bobby Brink. Bobby Brink, you ready for this? 12 games played, 3 goals, 5 assists for 8 points and a plus one. And he was the 2019 34th overall second round third pick. That's what it says, draft.
I mean, it's a decent draft. I mean, it's not obviously not no first round or anything like that, but that doesn't cut him short, but, you know.
What I'm saying here is he's got one more point than the number one pick.
And he's in a positive compared to the other player who's in a negative.
And he's a plus one.
Yeah, that's wild. How do they justify that? How would you calculate? If you were you, how do you calculate that?
To me, you know what I mean? Like, I get it. They're playing it.
It's not a personality thing or an attitude thing. So how do you differentiate that?
I said this before the season. And, you know, people look at me like I'm fucking crazy. And I said, if I'm wrong, I'll own up to it. But I think there's too much overhype with Connor Bedard. Yes, he's in the NHL. He's playing in the NHL. He's good. You know what I mean? But I don't think he's all that hype, dude. I don't. Like, nobody knows. You talk about people on the West Coast. If you ask them who Bobby Brink is, they look at you like, yeah, he's my plumber.
Yeah, it's Bobby. Yeah, Bobby.
He's a fucking plumber. You know what I mean? Like, you ask people that. You know what I mean? Like,
He's the favorite dad on the softball team.
Yeah, yeah. He takes everybody to Pizza Hut after the fucking game.
Oh, you know? My God. Extra soda pop. We're getting Dr. Pepper tonight, baby.
You know what I mean? So, it's that's another topic. And I said this on my buddies. I said this on my buddies.
Shout out to Dr. Pepper, by the way. Shout out to Dr. Pepper.
I said this to my buddy on his podcast, you know, the General Admission podcast. He had me on, and I said it, man. I said I think Adam Fenatelli is going to be have more points for Columbus, and he's going to be better than Connor Bedard.
You know, it's tough. It's all in due time, especially when you have the two players that we just spoke about, how mm-hmm. close they are.
Yeah.
That's one of those things where literally just like a playoff game, one game can change the whole one play. I shouldn't even go that tough in the paint. One play can change the whole momentum of the next movement. And that's one of those things. Now, you know, the judgment call, because maybe this guy's the heel. Maybe one dude's the heel, one guy's the face. Their points are the same or virtually the same, very close to it. One guy's in the negative, one guy's in the positive. I mean, that could be as simple as people just don't like this dude. One guy they don't like, the other guy they're like, yay! You know, they pop for him. It could be as simple as that. But then again, any given Sunday, not a football reference, but just a pun, any given day, the upper hand changes.
All right. You ready for this one?
Oh, I hope so.
We got
to do my best. Let me
call. Wait, hold on.
I'm good now. Let's go. No.
We got the Calder rookie scoring, right?
Okay.
In points, number one. Who's number one in scoring for rookies? The plumber, Bobby Brink. Number one in scoring. Number one in scoring. Number two. Or tied for first. You have four players tied for first place, but Bobby Brink's number one on the list.
Now, is it goals or is it assists too? Like it's total points.
It's total points.
Okay. Okay. We're on the same page. Continue.
Right. Connor Bedard is ranked sixth. Adam Fantilli is number 11, right? Logan Cooley's number two. Luke Evangelista is number three. Pavel Mitskuchkov for Anaheim is fourth. Marco Rossi, number five. Number six, Connor Bedard, right?
I'm here, yep.
If you go plus minus rating?
The numbers swap. It's completely different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure you'll say it, but I'm just saying in a general, like I completely get that. Like,
oh, plus minus, dude. It's
you change one factor, and the whole list goes.
Oh, he's not even, and he's top not even. He's not
probably
even
not even on it.
In the probably top not 30.
Yeah. See, one small statistic.
He is
changed the whole game print, dude. Changed the whole game plan.
He is. Look at this. He's not even on page two.
He's in the 50s. He's a
50. He is ranked 66.
66. Get your dicks at Route 66.
Out of 68 players.
Yucky. Oh, my God. Caca.
More defense.
That's what you call loose caca, buddy.
I call it more defense. More defense.
Oh, man. It's not really bad either. I shouldn't say cocky because he's still playing at a high caliber level. But again, it's the perspective. One detail.
That's it.
Upper echelon.
Mm-hmm. He's
in the top of the notch. You know, king of the heat. Top of the hill. You change one perspective of that. And he went from what? Number?
He went from
six to 30.
No, to 66th.
That's right. I'm sorry. 66.
Yep.
Dude, I'm no mathematician.
That's one stat. Good. That's one stat, dude.
That ain't good.
Fuck.
Dude, this is a struggle, bro. Struggle's real.
And if you listen to this and you want to have an argument, by all means, we'll have you on. We'll have you on. We'll if you want to talk about it, we'll have you on.
Let's go. You want to talk about it? We will John Cena that ass. No, but seriously, though, educated points of view, are always welcome, especially if you really have a legitimate point.
Listen, we'll have a discussion. I'll have you on. We'll have a discussion. If you're right, you're right. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'll admit to it.
Don't let me be on the podcast because mine just gonna be doo doo butter. No, but seriously, it's all introspective. It's all point of
that's my opinion. It's just my opinion. It's your opinion. You know what I mean? But like,
yeah, but facts are facts too, and stats don't lie. So
stats don't lie.
No matter what we talk about, and no matter what we feel, feeling is irrelevant because the stats don't lie.
Yeah.
And that's never going to change.
And that doesn't, and stats don't lie from mites all the way up to pro. They don't lie.
I just watched something earlier today. I think it was online. It was a TikTok or something on Instagram, and it was a Jeopardy question, and it was a hockey question. And the question was, what player did – so there's only 13 players that did this one thing. Can't remember exactly what it was, but 11 of them are the same player, and it was Gretzky. So there's only 13 players on this list that did something.
Yeah.
And Gretzky's the first 11. So Gretzky until 11. And then there's two other players on the list. So it's basically Gretzky and two other players on this list of 13. And Gretzky won 11 of the 13. It had something. It's not a points thing. I feel dummy that I should have followed it more. But the moral is, you look at a perspective like that. Now, we're not comparing everyone to Gretzky. But when one guy can have 11 spots out of 13, it speaks volumes. And the guy had more assists than goals. Sharing is caring. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how well you move the puck. You put your teammates over you, you're the greatest player that ever lived.
No, hands fucking down. Hands down.
It is what it is. Go score goals all day. TJ, go slay. Tell Lanny right now, the next game he plays, forget about his teammates. Take charge. Score 8 goals in the game, bro. Win the game. Get the trophy. Get the puck if they hit you with the puck after the game. But what good is that? Let's say it's Lanny. What good is that for Lanny's game? Mm-hmm. What does that preach for Lanny? What does that show Lanny? Like, even if you told him before the game, let's say he's playing right now, bro. This is just the perspective. Even though others are listening, it's just me and you. You tell him, listen, man, I'm proud of you. Mommy's proud of you. Go out and win the game. So he takes that. He hears that, and he's like, I'm going to score 8 goals. And he goes out on the ice, he scores 8 goals. They win the game. It don't matter. Everyone's happy because not only did Lanny take charge and score all the goals, but they won the game. But then again, in perspective, it's not that he was selfish. Maybe he's the best player on the ice. He is one of the best players on the ice when he plays. But you look at it like, if he would have took two other players and instead of doing his own thing, decided to give it off to his teammates, not only did he make more points at the end of the game because of that, he not only incorporated his own professionalism into the team, which made the team that much better. And not that it wasn't that good before, because he scored 8 goals. Team won. Mm-hmm. Everyone wins. But when you're that good and you're able to give back, in a sense, to everyone else around you, that personally makes you that much better.
100%.
I mean, it is what it is. You could 100. Be the great – Wayne Gretzky could have been the great – he is. Could have been the greatest player. Paulina is the greatest player of all time. Okay. Paulina.
Was it – he scored – he recorded 11 straight 100-point
seasons?
That's
what it is. Thank you. That's what it is.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
That's it. Thank you for the statistic.
You're welcome.
There's only 3 players on the list, and he had 11. He made the list. He is the list. But again, you look.
He's on Chris Jericho's list.
You look at the statistics. The guy's assists are through the fucking ceiling, bro. His goals are high, but the assists And that's for me as a hockey player. I was never the best. You know me, bro. We competed, but I was never on your caliber of talent, your wife's caliber of talent, your brother-in-law's your brother's-in-law's caliber of talent. We're all equal. I'm not downing myself. But you put it in perspective like that. You think of, I don't care how good I am. If I make everyone else around me that much better, my real estate just shot through the roof.
Oh, 100%.
And you take that could either way. I could take that as an egotistical thing. Like, look, I'm already the man, bro. I'm the man. But I just made everyone else look great. That makes me even better of the man. Arguably, that's correct. Mm-hmm. Could look at the ego, look at not an ego. When you put someone else over, not only does that person go over, you go over as well.
Agreed.
You know?
Agreed. And
it's a beautiful concept. I mean, what Three Ice is doing, you know, what Colton is doing overseas, what those teams have had to deal with in the last couple weeks, what hockey has had to deal with in the last couple weeks, when you start to put things in perspective like that and you see the straightforward vision, you start to realize, like, is it about me? Is it about my teammates? Is it about how we all can get together and make the game that much better? It's perspective. That's really all I got. That's all I got to say about that.
And in that's awesome. In closing here, you know, we're going to give out a couple Instagram handles here.
Oh, now, come on. Nah. We just got started. No, I'm just kidding.
We have you know, the official Sheffield Steelers. It's at official Steelers. Go check them out. Give them a follow. You know, if you guys want to reach out and follow Colton Saucerman, he's at Hot Sauce 2323. Go give him a follow. You know, great guy, good professional here.
Good insight. All things considered.
Guy's a great guy.
He took time out of his day to give us his best outlook on what he could physically. Let's just say figuratively he did, and not that we know. I don't know. I'm just shooting. Even if he did sign some type of agreement with the team that says, you know, I'm going to keep my cool. I'm gonna keep a hush. We're all going to keep a hush just for the respect. That's a professional at its highest level. Mm-hmm. They could have spilled the beans. He could have gave us his opinion tonight. He could have been like, fuck that guy. It doesn't matter what he said. It doesn't matter, because the fact that you take a player like that, so skilled, so talented, so professional, like I correlate it with your son. I don't give a damn if Lanny's the next Wayne Gretzky. He treats his teammates better than he treats himself. And that right there, it's volumes, it's fathoms of depth. It's just this, it's beauty at its finest, man. You know, it doesn't matter. You could be the best actor on the stage, you know what I mean? But you're only as good as your supporting cast.
Agreed.
Supporting cast is Dookie, the movie's gonna suck. I don't care how successful you are, Leonardo DiCaprio. I don't care. There was room on the door. He should have been on the door. You understand me? I'm going on tangents.
If you guys want to follow Three Ice, go check them out on Instagram at 3ICE Hockey. Go give them a follow as well. Again, we've got 78 minutes here. Again, this is part one of the Colton Saucerman podcast that we had him on. Part two. You know, he's gonna let us know when he's ready to come back on. He can speak further on the situations that happened over in the UK with the tragic accident that happened that shocked the hockey community. So, Alan, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Love you, brother.
I love you all day long. I love you.
You know what it is.
Maybe we can hook up during Thanksgiving too.
Listen, don't threaten me with
No, I'm serious. I'm serious. Mm. I'm serious. But
I like slow kisses. terrible.
Other than that,
I take that back. We retract.
Stay dusty, guys.
Stay dusty.